Dateline Washington, Monday, March 9th, 2009. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, should we be talking with the Taliban? President Obama floats that idea in a recent interview with the New York Times. We'll talk about that approach with retired U.S. Navy Captain Chuck Nash. Also in this edition, Obama moves forward in reversing the Bush policy on federal funding of embryonic stem cell research. The president will now permit the use of U.S. taxpayers' dollars for the creation and destruction of human embryos for the sake of scientific research. We'll talk about that with David Christensen of the Family Research Council. Plus, tension with China. Retired U.S. Army General Paul Vallely is with us to talk about the latest standoff between the U.S. and China in international waters. And America's declining faith. A new survey shows that fewer Americans identify themselves as religious, and fewer also say they are serious about their faith. We'll talk about that with Alan Wisdom, Vice President of the Institute on Religion and Democracy. All that plus our top news on this Monday is straight ahead. We begin with the idea of talking with the Taliban, and we begin right now. My first guest in this edition is Captain Chuck Nash, U.S. Navy retired. Chuck is also a Fox News military analyst. We want to get his thoughts today as President Obama, in an interview to the New York Times, suggests that it is possible, in his opinion, to negotiate with certain elements of the Taliban in order to find common ground and hopefully bring about an end to the terrorism threat as much as possible in that region. And Captain Nash, it's always great to have you with us.
Nice to be back with you, Greg.
Obviously, there are some extremely radical elements in the Taliban as well as in Al-Qaeda, which the Taliban sheltered for so many years in Afghanistan. And in any sort of movement, there's going to be some that are more radical than others. But just how big of a negotiating window do you think there is with a group like the Taliban?
Well, there's been an amnesty program over there for a little over 4 years now, and thousands of former Taliban have come in, turned in their weapons, and basically removed themselves from the fight. So the recalcitrant Taliban are already, most of them are already out of the fight. It's the real hardcore that are still in the fight. So for the United States to the White House to be talking about setting up relations with the Taliban, I just think that it's wishful thinking, especially when the same White House and a lot of the senior military folks freely admit that things are going so poorly in Afghanistan. You know, those words are going to come back to haunt them because the Taliban, they're not idiots. And, you know, they just had the Pakistanis turn over the Swat Valley to them, and now they're seeing the U.S. leadership continue to talk about how difficult things are in Afghanistan, and if we're not winning, well, you know, are we winning? No, but we're not losing, but we're not winning, and so they're playing from a real position of weakness right now.
That certainly seems to be the case, and in addition to that, where would any sort of talks begin? How do you trust our sworn enemy for the past 8 years, and, you know, what issues are even on the table?
Yeah, there's a gent, Gary Burstyn, who was the CIA officer who was in charge of CIA forces in Afghanistan right after 9/11. He's got a lot of experience with the Taliban, and he's been on record as saying this is a big mistake, that you can't trust the people because the leadership of the Taliban is plotting war, not peace. And, oh, by the way, most of the real leadership is over in Pakistan, where the sanctuary is. They're not in Afghanistan. So any deals that we cut are going to be cut with small groups of non-connected folks over in Afghanistan, not the real leadership. So it's kind of a mess. And the other thing is, are we undermining the Karzai government, which in the end game is the government that we have to stand up, support, and make sure that they are maintaining the control of this sovereign country? Because if we're not supporting them now, at what point will we support them? It's their job to deal with the Taliban.
What has been the Karzai government's position on this? Have they had any talks, or do they see that as a fruitless effort?
No, Greg, there's been an amnesty program for 4 years. People have been coming in out of the field, coming out of the fight, and they've been doing that. And U.S. forces have been involved with that as well. It just bothers me because I just get the sense that maybe there isn't as complete an understanding of the reality on the ground over there as there should be.
We're talking with retired Navy Captain Chuck Nash. And, Captain, you mentioned that the Taliban now controls the Swat Valley in Pakistan, and we've clearly seen a resurgence in their ability to fight in Afghanistan. What are the lessons to be learned? How did they get from being almost completely down and out in the end of 2001 to slowly picking themselves back up and putting together another effort?
Well, first off, there are a lot of people who don't understand. They think, oh, well, look at this. We took over Afghanistan with a couple hundred guys. No, we took over Afghanistan with a couple hundred guys talking to tens of thousands of guys called the Northern Alliance. And the Northern Alliance threw their lot in with the United States effort to get rid of the Taliban, and it was a power play. So we essentially put a couple hundred guys and a lot of air power in on top of a massive ground force called the Northern Alliance. So the Taliban, that's the other thing. The Taliban, they're not outsiders like Al-Qaeda, who are referred to as the foreign Arabs. They're not outsiders. They actually grew up in that Pashtun area, which lies on both sides of that political border called the Pakistani-Afghan border. They're in the tribal areas. So they know what's going on over there. This is part of their culture. It has been for thousands of years.
And so in terms of what the U.S. strategy should be then, at this point, is it mostly military effort? Is it empowering the Karzai government to take a more prominent leading role? What's the best approach here?
We have got to be working with the Karzai government, because in the end, just like it is the duly constituted and elected government in Iraq that finally got its act together, and the people of the country finally getting the security they needed because of the surge to demand that kind of lasting security, it forced the government to step up. Well, it's the same thing here. Security is important. Improving the lives of the people at the local level, not grand projects, just making life better. Fresh water is a good start. You've got agriculture starting to come back as opposed to just poppy cultivation. There are actually foodstuffs are coming back, and this is turning around slowly. It would turn around much quicker if the entire United States government were involved with Afghanistan, not just the military.
Captain, you mentioned Iraq, and one of the things that President Obama said in this interview with the New York Times is that he believes this limited diplomacy effort with the Taliban can work, because he says it's clear that we were able to negotiate with and secure the support of folks that probably would be classified as Islamic fundamentalists in Iraq. We eventually played a key role in helping us to provide stability there through our new strategy. What's accurate about that, and what's a little bit misleading about that?
Think of how we turned around Al-Anbar province. Al-Anbar province is a predominantly, as is most of Iraq, a tribal area. There are sheikhs who control those large groups of people in those tribes. And Al-Qaeda, who were outsiders, came in. The Sunnis in Al-Anbar decided to basically fall in with the Al-Qaeda, because the Al-Qaeda were working against the United States. Well, once Al-Qaeda started killing the local Sunnis, the Sunnis said enough of this and started killing the Al-Qaeda, because they realized that the U.S. Marines and Army were offering them a future, and Al-Qaeda was killing their kids and their fellow citizens. That is not the case in Afghanistan. The people who they're trying to deal with, it's not Al-Qaeda. It's the Taliban, and the Taliban are holding down the villages, and the villages, even if they wanted to get out from underneath the Taliban rule, you would have to be there 24/7, just like we were. It would in the neighborhoods of Baghdad. So it would take an uprising from within the villages themselves in Afghanistan, and that is too difficult to do without a very large force maintaining that security, because these Taliban come and go, and they know who's being naughty and who's being nice, so to speak, and they'll come back and visit you later, and it may be acid in your daughter's face on the way to school or just a bullet in your head, but these are not nice people, and the villagers realize they fear the Taliban more than they see a future right now, and that has to change.
Captain, this all comes with about 17,000 more troops on their way to Afghanistan. Is that a sufficient force to do what we need to do there? And how would you suggest they be deployed?
We're talking about having 50,000 U.S. troops on the ground in Afghanistan, which is a country far larger than Iraq, far more geographically challenging than Iraq. And Iraq is a country where we had 170,000 troops. We've got NATO troops, some of whom are not allowed out after dark. Seriously, they don't patrol after dark because it's too dangerous. We've got a mishmash of rules of engagement with the various countries that are providing troops over there. This is going to be a very, very difficult challenge, and that's why instead of talks, maybe what we should do is offer instead a strategy before we start talking to people. That's not a substitute for strategy.
About a minute left with retired Navy Captain Chuck Nash. And, Captain, one of the things we've clearly seen, and you alluded to it with the handover of the Swat Valley in Pakistan, is the incredibly weak Pakistani government that exists there now. How big of a factor is that, and how much do we need from them if we're going to be effective in this overall strategy?
From the Taliban's perspective, they're on a roll. They've got the Pakistani government essentially turning over a huge piece of real estate to these people who will now impose and are imposing Sharia law on a population, I think, of about 5 million people or so. It's absolutely incredible that here a sovereign nation turned over a piece of its country to a non-state actors. Just incredible. So, yeah, and then you can read in the headlines or listen to the audio of senior people in this country talking about how we're not winning in Afghanistan. So from their perspective over there, they listen to the radio. They watch TV. They don't drop leaflets out of airplanes. They pass out DVDs. So this is not an unsophisticated enemy. They're very aware, and they're watching, and they're listening. And I think what they hear encourages them, quite frankly.
Captain, I'm afraid that'll have to be the last word. As always, sir, we thank you so much for your time and your analysis.
My pleasure, Greg.
Retired U.S. Navy Captain Chuck Nash is also a Fox News military analyst. This is Dateline Washington.